Although this gospel deserves plenty of commentary, I'm going to, in fact, concentrate on the second reading, which is being read these days, from the letter of James. Recent studies say that this might well be the oldest letter in the New Testament, earlier than any of Paul's. And you're going to see, maybe you saw already last week, that it has very different themes. It speaks of a primitive Christianity that has not become very theological or abstract, or you don't need to go to college to understand James. James has street talk. Now, there's so many Jameses. There's the two apostles, both named James, must have been a popular name, just as Jim is today. And there's James, who's called the brother of the Lord. There's James, who's the first bishop of Jerusalem. And there's James, who writes this letter. To be honest, we don't know which one is which. But at any rate, we certainly know this is from the very beginning. Now, if you were listening, as I hope you were, and it was being read well, you notice it's all about lifestyle. It's not about what you believe. He's not telling you to believe this or believe that. He's not making some great big theological affirmations. The whole letter of James is about how you live your life. And you see here, if a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food, and one of you says, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat well, God bless you," but you don't give him the necessities of the body, what good is this? And so he creates this great big dialogue that Martin Luther later makes a great deal of, between faith and works, what you believe and what you do. And James tries to put them together. As he says, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's useless. If it doesn't show itself in your behavioral lifestyle, if you don't live differently than your neighbor, then what does it matter if you say you believe in Jesus? Who cares? That's what he's saying. And I'm afraid that message is still needed today. There's a lot of people who believe all the right things, but they're racist and they don't care about the poor. They don't care about their neighbor. They're all for war. They're really not any different than anybody else. They just believe in Jesus, whatever that means at that level. He says, "Indeed, if someone says, 'You have faith and I have works,' demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works." In other words, the two have to go together. And you can't make it one or the other. But never in the whole New Testament is it made as clear as it is in James's letter. In other places he talks, I think that was last week, about when a rich person enters the room or someone who's famous, you say, "Oh, sit right here." I know I've felt that sometimes as a priest. You'll come in and people will show you all kind of silly respect because you're a priest. And someone who maybe isn't as well known, they're almost ignored. And James says, let's have none of this. Everybody is the same in God's sight. And stop this showing preference to people of importance. So you can tell James is an ordinary man who thinks like an ordinary man, who sees ordinary things and can tell when people are really different and when they're pretty much just like everybody else. In other places, he talks about gossip and that it's our tongue that really destroys us. The cruel and unnecessary and unkind things we say about one another. Now that doesn't sound like high-level theology. Again, it's just, how are you doing it? How are you living your life hour by hour? And for James, this shows whether you've really encountered Christ. Whether you're really like Christ or you're pretty much like everybody else. Now we can tie this up with the wonderful gospel. where we see Jesus himself almost in a moment of self-questioning or self-doubt, asking, how am I coming across? What are people saying about me? Who do people think that I am? And they give, Peter gives his perfect theological answer, you are the Christ. But then you'll notice, the very one who says you are the Christ, a few sentences later, misses the point. And when Jesus talks about suffering and taking the low road, who fights him on it? The very one who's just made a perfect theological statement. And I remind you that Peter, the so-called first pope, is the only person that Jesus ever calls a devil. When does he call him a devil? Right here, where Peter tries to have the right theological answer, but not any acceptance of suffering and pain in this world, which of course is always our identification with the poor, with the excluded ones, with those who are outside. So we can see that Peter, the so-called first pope, still has a lot to learn himself. And that you can have the right theology. You can be orthodox, as a lot of the young priests say today. You can be perfectly orthodox and not understand the lifestyle of Jesus one bit. And until the world sees that we live differently, that we act differently, that we don't show preference to the rich and ignore the poor, he, James says, we have no reason to believe that we are any different than anybody else. In other words, it's not words, it's, as you all know, actions. And our actions reveal, James says, what we really and truthfully believe.